Good evening, folks, and welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I am your host, Maggie Hart, here with you another week on this very frigid, cold, snow-pelting-down type of no-sun day, enjoying my big cup of coffee on my comfy couch, envisioning you all joining me for a really great conversation. Some fun to be had today. I'm going to try and keep it lighter than I have in previous episodes, just because the overall energetic vibe of the planet seems to be somewhat mixed in reviews. We've got the liberal side, which are absolutely melting down, and the Republican or conservative or the patriot. Patriot is not a good word anymore for me, because patriot signifies to me people who are fallen under the spell of the people who are claiming to want to do good for our country. And it's a movement. It's a movement. It's something that's been created. So I'm not really a fan of the patriot word anymore in regards to the other side of the political spectrum. So if you hear me say that, please email me and say, don't use that word anymore, and remind me. But they're on like such a high because of all of the progress, positive progress that Trump has made since he's taken office. So I've got mixed energy floating around, but overall, the vibe is, well, it's kind of like taking a bath in tepid water for me. It's hot and it's cold, and so I'm feeling kind of warm vibes. If that makes any sense to you, it's just the way that my body interprets things, the way that my intuition comes to me. So I wanted to pick it up a little bit more. I want to get, as I've said so many times before, back more to the original Positude Podcast format, where it's more lighthearted and upbeat and fun. And we still get to talk about some pertinent topics too. But before I go any farther, I know that my fans listening that are on the conservative side are probably having a little bit of a problem with my patriot statement. And I just want to clarify that a little more. I've seen what's coming in bits and pieces and sometimes parts of many movies. And I've had discernment for a really long time insofar as what the inner tickings are, what the inner workings are. And for anyone to believe in a particular person or a party or their outright statements wholeheartedly, 100%, and take those as faith and believe everything that they say to be true, I feel that that is not a good position to come from. We are in an era, like I talked about a couple weeks ago when I did my kind of little bit of an insight into 2025, that we can't trust anything wholeheartedly. We can have faith, we can envision what we want to have happen, and we can support the positive and negate the negative, but we have to be very careful that we don't encompass something that appears to be good in its entirety, because in today's day and age especially, nothing is all good when it comes to these political movements. We have to be aware that there's always an agenda, whether it be for what you think is right or what you think is wrong. You may agree or disagree on some concepts, but we have to keep our eyes open. We have to be aware of the integral workings and functions and what makes these people and the people that surround them tick and what is truly their end game. And just because they don't vocalize what their end game is at this moment doesn't mean that they don't have an end game and doesn't mean that it's not necessarily aligned with what you want to see happen or what they're telling you they want to see happen right now. So I just want everybody to go into every situation with eyes open And as I've stated before so many times, we are one people. We are humanity as a whole. We really need to stop the derisiveness. And my bad, I smacked myself on the hand the other day because I did do a recent interview where I was picking on the liberals a little bit. And that's going to happen, just like they're picking on the conservative side a little bit. In some cases, maybe more than a little bit on both sides. But as much as I try to point things out that are ludicrous to me or don't make sense to me or just really aren't right, integrally aren't right, i.e. killing babies, what will get us farther in this game of life is if we all come together and work toward defeating the evil on any level and work toward becoming more solidified as a hive mind, like we talked about with the 2025, what I see coming. We are a hive mindset. We have to develop that positive frequency, that positive vibration as a whole so that we can truly get rid of what we don't want and bring in, usher in what we do want to see, the changes that we do want to see. And that, it entails work, and it's a constant struggle. And as much as I want to sit here and bitch and moan about the other side, based on their beliefs more than anything, if there were no parties and there were just thoughts and ideas, and each side had some good and some bad, then we could intermingle more easily. And not to say that the left is integrally bad. There are many, many, many friends of mine and acquaintances over the years and clients that are liberal, that are really good people, but they are truly misled. Now they're going to say, well, you're truly misled. We're not misled. You're misled. And down that roller coaster again, where it's just up and down and it's your opinion versus my opinion. But when I come from a moral perspective and I use my moral compass, there is a lot more on the Democratic side that is absolutely abhorrent and evil in nature than on the other side of the spectrum, based on their own voiced political beliefs, based on what they would allow to have happen versus what is moral and what is right. So, and I hope that that makes sense to you. So for me personally, it truly is the lesser of two evils where we're at right now. But I don't want anybody to misunderstand me and think that I'm 100% for this side either, because I'm not. And I've hoped that those who listen to me on a regular basis can appreciate that. What I'm striving to do for myself is there are times where I get caught up in a situation, and because it's a personal, or what feels like a personal attack on my moral code or my values based on what they're trying to pass or put through, I get still somewhat emotionally involved. And this is something that I've also talked about on previous shows. We're not of this world. So I need to be more removed from the situation and look at it from an overall picture and not let my emotions rule more. And the reason that I'm telling you this is because I want you to be able to identify with me. I'm not going to be one of those hosts that is going to sit up on top of the mountain and act like I'm perfect and I'm an expert and this is what you need to do and that's what you need to do. And I don't suffer or struggle with my own issues. Because anybody that does that is not truthful. So it's really important to me that you understand that I'm learning as I'm teaching. As many years as I've been doing this, nobody is perfect. So there are times where I got caught up in certain energies, depending on the interviews that I'm on and the hosts that I'm interacting with, where it's depending on the day that I've had. This is not always the normal. I've gotten so much better. Like, you guys have no idea. My personal friends do. Those that have known me all of my life or for the last 20 years, they know how my temper used to be. And they knew. I've always been a straight shooter. I've never been a bullshitter, but I've never taken any guff. And it was a matter 20 years ago of throwing down if anybody got in my face. I was there to defend myself and my family. And not that I'm not still, I just handle myself a little differently than I did back then. Not that I don't still have the fire and the temper and the passion and all of the wonderful things that make me who I am based on my life experiences and what I've learned, but I'm trying to be more tempered in my approach and not be as hostile. So am I never going to make fun or pick on something that I think is atrocious? No, that's not, I'm not going to be that. I'm not going to do that. But I am trying to temper my approach a little bit because I've got to remove myself even more from the situation. It's really hard not to get emotional when you feel so strongly about a topic, and passion is so important, but we need to not absorb that energy into our body. We still need to be able to stay at the high frequency. We can recognize it, we can vocalize it, but we need to internally stay at a higher vibration and frequency. And when I feel like I'm succumbing to that, I'm going to bitch about this energy, it's not conducive to me. I am going to give you some examples of some situations that I encountered this week, and I am going to complain about the Z generation a little bit, but I'm going to do it from, I think, a more lighthearted perspective, because I have learned to laugh at a lot of this. Gen Xers, we have it so tough right now. I feel like Gen Xers are looking at a lot of other people that they encounter as though they're aliens, because the way that they think and the way that they carry themselves and their behaviors are so, they're foreign to us. We weren't raised this way. We weren't raised with a lack of respect and a bold attitude. We were raised to respect our elders, and it's such a different world out there. And we're going to talk about that too. And ways that we can help ourselves feel better that don't cost a lot of money, especially in this economy where eggs are over $6 a dozen, I'm hearing. I'm blessed to have my own birds, and so I don't need to buy a lot of eggs. And I know what I'm eating. I know what's going into my body. But when I'm with my family, I bring what I have with me, and when I'm here for an extended period of time, I run out of my farm-grown eggs, and so I'm forced to go to the store to purchase other eggs. And thankfully, there is a store in this area, Aldi, that is very reasonable, and they use the gold hen eggs as of now, where there aren't any growth hormones, but the prices are considerably more reasonable, even though they're extremely inflated than a lot of the other stores. But we're hearing these reports about how the mRNA and all of this stuff is going into all of the foods. And so we need to be careful, very careful about what we consume. But I want to say the last time I got a dozen eggs there, it was either $3.49 or $3.69 a dozen. Up in Maine, it's almost $6 or $6 a dozen. I don't know what the traditional grocery stores are charging here. All that I can tell you is that is absolutely insane. The reason for this is because of the avian flu that supposedly was running loose, and so many farmers were made to kill their chickens. What we're seeing here is very much the same thing that we saw during COVID. Farmers are being forced to kill their animals. Please believe me when I tell you this is a man-made created food shortage situation that's only getting worse and driving the prices up so that we are forced to rely eventually on a governmental system. But not only that, we're forced to purchase products, or they'd like for us to purchase products that have their cocktails in the food that we consume. And it's so much scarier than just the GMOs and the Monsanto products. I am hoping that Trump will take care of some of this. One of his earlier statements in one of his conferences, I believe it was Inauguration Day, was that he's going to get the prices to go down and they're going to drop quickly. Well, then he better be supporting a whole bunch of farmers and buying them baby chicks and letting them raise their chicks and exposing a lot of this bullshit that goes on in the way of falsified diseases that are totally created to kill our farm animals. So why did I open with What If by Creed? I'm going to be playing segments of that song throughout the show just because I love Creed and the vocals are pertinent. I've always been a lyrics girl, and Gen Xers, how many times, you know, Hold Me Closer, Tiny Danza, Tony Danza, and I'll Never Be Your Pizza Burnin' instead of Beast of Burden, Rolling Stones. We grew up in an era where music was everything to us, and for some of us, it still is. It's just that the Hertzes aren't the best for us. But what if, when I look at both sides of the spectrum and I look at some of the toxicity that's out there, I look at the atrocities that have been performed against children and our elderly and our veterans and just crime in general and ritual stuff that's gone on. What if eye for an eye? And I feel as though Trump has a certain degree of that in him. He's going to fight back, and he's actually doing it with the funding that he's cutting from the governments. You guys screwed us. What if we cut off your funding? What if we bring our business back to the United States and we don't depend on you anymore? There's a certain degree of that that's already going on. And I feel in some cases, this is what we need. This is what we have the right to do. We're going to take our country back. I think that he's definitely on the right track with that. And I do believe that he means some of what he says. But has anybody listened to the video that was put out about the new company that he's bringing in? I think it behooves us to be aware of this and keep a close eye on it. Also, interstructurally, the government spending that he's cut, he's stopped Fauci's limousine and personal security service. He's absolutely right in doing that. And if anybody heard the clip where he talked about that, the reporter tried to goad him into asking him if he'd be guilty about something happening to Fauci. And he's like, well, I cut other people too. And when you're an ex-government employee or you're not with the government anymore, you don't have the right to be funded the rest of your lives with, he was speaking specifically about the protection, the security that was paid for. However, they did cut off the limousine as well. And I think about that. If anybody has a problem with that, then think about your own personal situation. If you're fired from a job, would you still receive pay and benefits from that position? Would you still have the company car? Of course you wouldn't. So it stands to reason. He did the logical, reasonable thing. Is it a personal vendetta because of Fauci and the whole COVID thing? Well, a lot of liberals seem to feel that way, and that Fauci's life may be endangered. Well, if he didn't do anything wrong, then there wouldn't be people out to attack him, would there? And he was 100% correct in his statement that Fauci made a ton of money off of this deal. And we'll give him references. He can pay for his own personal security. Again, from your own perspective, if you made $200,000 a year at your job that you were let go from, wouldn't you then have the money to pay for the lifestyle that you were privy to as part of your employment, i.e. a company car or personal security? Of course you would. If you were that worried about yourself, you would take your own personal money and take care of business. Gen Xers. So has everybody seen the video breaking Trump dash flanked by Larry Ellison, Sam Altman, Masayoshi Son announces Project Stargate? It's about 17 something minutes long. I encourage you all to listen to that video and then to listen to it again. When the little Oriental man came to the platform, I was thinking, Gary Coleman, what you talking about, Willis? They literally had to put a little stool under the podium so that he could reach over the microphone to speak. It was the cutest thing, and Trump got a kick out of that. I thought that was hysterically funny, mostly because I've been in that exact same position before where I had a hard time when I was doing a lecture reaching the podium, which is why I always choose to go with a free mic when I'm speaking. And then, you know, just because of my energy, I'm able to surf the room and move about freely. I prefer that. But then there's a taller guy that comes in, and you'll hear that joke. I'm going to play a clip for you where he's talking about, you know, should I step on this or not? But the part that I want you to focus on, and it may be hard to hear at the beginning, is Trump asks one of the guys what this company will do to help medically. What can we expect? And it's hard to hear at the beginning. He asks the question, and then a guy speaks, and then he passes it over to another guy. And that's the important part. Previous to that, Trump and the other people that were there were talking. It's a $500 billion project, and Trump says there's going to be a lot of energy generation for AI tech. And one gentleman talks about electronic health records and how they will affect us and they'll be beneficial for the people. They talk about their colossal data centers and how these are going to employ a lot of people. There are something like 10 going up in Texas. But this part here, check this.
I hear so many positive things about what it's going to do for medical research and for solving things, cancer and all the different problems. How will AI help us with the fight against various problems, diseases, etc.?
So Trump asks, how will AI help us with fighting various diseases? I made it as loud as I could. That's as good as it gets.
These guys can maybe share more about some of the work they're doing there. I think they'll jointly be some of the leaders about driving progress here. But I believe that as this technology progresses, we will see diseases get cured at an unprecedented rate. We will be amazed at how quickly we're curing this cancer and that one and heart disease. And what this will do for the ability to deliver very high quality healthcare, the costs, but really to cure the diseases at a rapid, rapid rate, I think will be among the most important things this technology does.
Okay, so Trump never does anything without a reason. He's asking for clarification on what supposedly will happen with this project to help our health. And initially, to me, it's like, oh, wow, this sounds amazing, right? But check this clip out.
So we're currently working on... Should I step on this? Okay. All right. No. I'm not that tall. Thank you, Mr. President. One of the most exciting things we're working on, using the tools that Sam and Masa are providing, is a cancer vaccine. It's very interesting. early diet. It turns out, I'll be quick, all of our cancers, cancer tumors, little fragments of those tumors float around in your blood. So you can do early cancer detection. If you can do it using AI, you can do early cancer detection with a blood test. And using AI to look at the blood test, you can find the cancers that are actually seriously threatening the person. So we can, again, cancer diagnosis using AI has the promise of just being a simple blood test. Then beyond that, once we gene sequence that cancer tumor, you can then vaccinate the person, design a vaccine for every individual person to vaccinate them against that cancer. And you can make that vaccine, that mRNA vaccine, you can make that robotically, again, using AI in about 48 hours. So imagine early cancer detection, the development of a cancer vaccine for your particular cancer aimed at you, and have that vaccine available in 48 hours. This is the promise of AI and the promise of the future.
So call me crazy, but we're still on the vaccination train. And he specifically mentions mRNA. This is extremely concerning to me. Not just the whole AI principle as a whole, which we know has the possibility of being used for many great things, but also for many very bad things. Extremely, extremely concerning to me. And I want to just have everybody, if they could, as much as I'm happy, again, the lesser of two evils, with Kennedy being in Trump's political circle now, and we talked about, I think last week, he stopped the fluoride in the water as of the 20th of January, and the things that he's doing or going to do, hopefully, to make our what we consume a safer place. And nobody's mentioned chemtrails yet. And I find that interesting, to say the least. Nobody's talked about the fog yet. Also interesting. Look at Kennedy's previous statements regarding vaccinations. Look at, and this was one of the biggest problems that I had with Trump in the last administration, was how he handled the COVID situation, specifically regarding the vaccines. And now we have this. I don't know why this popped into my head, and it could be totally unrelated, but does anybody remember the Angelina Jolie scenario from several years ago where celebrities were undergoing prophylactic mastectomy because they were at high risk for developing breast cancer? They were doing some sort of genetic studies, and if they were deemed in the high-risk group, they just went ahead and cut their breasts off as a preventative measure. Jolie did it. Sharon Osbourne did it. Christina Applegate had a double mastectomy after a tumor was found in one breast. And that was being promoted and publicized so extensively. And they were actively trying to get women to have these tests done so that if it was in their history that they might have a chance of developing breast cancer, they were urging them to follow these same scenarios that these actresses. Angelina Jolie is always one that I've never trusted, by the way. Not that I trust any of them, but especially not her. And I'm thinking of that scenario. And it's possible that with the development of AI, they may have fine-tuned the process and be truly able to check the cells in the body to see if somebody could get cancer or maybe developing cancer. I'm okay with that. it's just a test, right? I'm sort of okay with that. But the vaccine thing, we're back to the vaccinations. Anytime anything is injected into your body, you have absolutely no guarantee of what it is that they're putting into your body. And this is exactly the scenario that I spoke about when I saw what was coming for 2025, when I told people there will be a lot of really great technology, seemingly great technology that's developed with AI that will seemingly be very, very helpful for humanity, medically speaking, but wasn't necessarily good for the people. Go back and play that tape from the last show or 2 weeks ago that I did when I talked about that. This is exactly what I was referring to. I did a show last night. I did another interview last night where we talked about these topics as well. And that was one of the things, too, that my host brought up is, you know, they're not talking about the chemtrails and all of that yet. And then we get hit up with this. So there's so much we need to have discernment for in these times. A lot of things will appear to be very positive in nature, but they're not going to be positive down the line. So we have to be very careful. What I did last night on the show when we talked about it was I encouraged people. I said, listen, I don't trust my government. I would encourage people to explore holistic ways of treating cancer or things that they can take as cancer preventatives that are natural based that you can do in the privacy of your own home without relying on any sort of injection to be able to do that for you. This is the time that we need to be doing this research. We need to be doing all of the things that I've been telling you for 4 years to strengthen our immune system, take preventative measures, i.e. in the form of vitamins and the food that we eat and the water that we drink. And yeah, even the air that we breathe, how sad is that? And the sun came in and went out and came in again as I talked to you. That's something else that we need to focus on. You need that sunshine. It's essential to your well-being and health. I know that red light therapy is being touted and it may have some beneficial aspects. I've heard some good things about it. Gen X, red light therapy in my day meant something totally different, and it had to do with prostitutes, and it wasn't necessarily therapy. But look how times have changed. Why would we need red light therapy when we can go out and soak in the sunshine of our own accord? Something to think about. So we need to be on our guard at all times. I love what Trump has done so far on so many levels. Don't mistake me. But we can't trust in anyone 100%. We need to watch. And we need to have the insight to be able to see the picture down the line. What could this potentially develop into? And I'm not necessarily even saying that the people that are developing this company have a bad intent. They may very well be developing all this thing for the good of humanity. And I loved, you know, again, the, you know, the back and forth banter about the stool under the podium. You listen to that in the beginning. They're lighthearted. Everybody's happy. It's a celebratory mood. We're bringing jobs to the country. We're doing all of these wonderful things. That could be their only intent. Someone else can take that technology and turn it in a completely different direction. Or if there is another administration that follows this, although I kind of think Trump's going to be our last president, and I have a reason for feeling that way. You may not understand that now, and we'll talk about that maybe later. But what if it gets into the wrong hands? Or what if these guys are promoting it to the country in a positive manner, but they really have ulterior motives? We have to be careful. Hey, since we talked about the breast thing before, and again, that may be totally unrelated, but it's just an example of how the general populace might be swayed, especially if they put big name celebrities out there that people admire to promote these different techniques. It's time for us to take a break. I'm over again. You're listening to the Positude Podcast with Maggie Hart. Please support the network. We are totally listener-funded. We depend on you to keep these shows going and keep bringing you quality content. Please check out the main page. Check out the chat room. Support the network. And if y'all want to be a superstar and have your own business, please consider promoting a spot on our network, whether it be on my show or any others. We'd really appreciate that. It's a great way to promote your business and support us at the same time. If you don't have a commercial, hit up the owner. I'm sure he and the producer would be happy to give you an amazing commercial that you'll be thrilled with. And my music entry and exit is provided by my good buddy Pat Carr. Sometimes my intermission music as well. You can reach him at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. You know the drill. He's all over the place. Support him. Buy his albums. Check him out. Tell him Maggie sent you. You can reach me for your life coaching, your help with spirituality, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual needs at Maggie, Maggie Hart @Outlook.com. Why put off till tomorrow what you can do today? Let's get you the help that you need and get you in a better space to face the times ahead. Kenneth Hildebrand said, strong lives are motivated by dynamic purposes. A goal is what we want. Methods are the ways of getting it. A goal is our heart's desire. Methods are the actions, information, things, and behaviors we use to get it. That from the Portable Do It, I haven't spoken from them in a while, and I wanted to share that and also this next part. When we get upset about the situations that surround us, some of the reason is because there's hurt underneath. So Marcus Aurelius said, vex not thy spirit at the course of things, thy heed not thy vexation. How ludicrous and outlandish is astonishment at anything that may happen in life. And the Portable Do It's quote is, beneath hurt is caring. The depth of the hurt indicates the depth of the caring. The anger that hides the hurting shows the degree of caring too. And that's something that together we can learn to temper and have patience with and get you on the right track so that if you're exhibiting your moods in an unhealthy manner, let's work on that together to get you back where you need to be so that you're able to talk about things in a healthy manner and heal wholly from the situations that you've been involved in. We'll be back after this. Stay tuned, folks.
A little music on the air, spread a little love to the people out there. Gonna go out walking in the world, breathe a little clean fresh air, find a place to offer up a silent prayer. All those years I spent in lonely isolation, claiming I had no regrets for the things I'd done. Filled my mind, drained my body, stained my soul, but now I'm fine, 'cause I know that my Lord has made me whole. I'm gonna buy a radio station, play a little music on the air, spread a little love to the people out there. I'm gonna do some talking about Jesus, telling everybody everywhere. Turn the people on to the love that's there.
we're back. Thank you for joining me for the second half of the Positude Podcast. I'm your host, Maggie Hart. Before the break, we talked about some political stuff, and I want to share some personal situations with me this week that maybe you're encountering, especially as a Gen Xer. But before we get there, there is a lot of speculation as to why Michelle Obama was not at the funeral for Jimmy Carter and also the inauguration for Trump. And there, I don't know if anybody's done any research into this, but I have been hearing from multiple different sources that the reason for that is that President Obama has been having an affair with Jennifer Aniston. And I've watched several videos regarding this. Supposedly, Jennifer has openly admitted it to her friends, I think in New York City. But there is so much to unpack with this. Well, actually, maybe not very much at all. Some people feel that it can't be Obama with Jennifer because he doesn't swing that way and he's gay, and Michael Michelle, that whole thing, that she's secretly a man or a tranny. But Jennifer Aniston is a very wholesome looking person, and she went crazy. A lot of people admire her and find that she's extremely beautiful. But there's also been a lot of speculation that she also is a man, much like Lady Gaga and so many of the celebrities that are out there today. At least Ellen DeGeneres is one that comes to mind, but there are so many. What was the one, Fish Called Wanda? Oh, Jamie Lee Curtis. We talked about that on my show a little over a year ago. I think that the original newspaper clip with Tony Curtis holding his child was originally a boy. That goes on a lot in entertainment circles and music circles. So is she really a man, Jennifer? And is there really an affair? We'll have to wait and see. But boy, doesn't that scenario fit? He left Michael for another man, a younger, more attractive man. The picture that was posted, that he posted on a social media celebrating his wife's anniversary or birthday, she looked totally horrible. He looked impeccable. If that were, and this was actually spoken about on one of the shows that I watched, if that were my husband and he chose to pick the most unflattering photo of me to put on his social media to celebrate a monumentous event in my life, i.e. birthday anniversary, I would be so pissed. It's pretty obvious that he chose that picture for a reason, as kind of a silent poke. Poke. Isn't that funny? I digress. So yeah, keep an eye on that. Let's see what happens. Fitness influencer did a video. A lady did a video about fitness influencers talking about staying out of Mexico. I want you to listen to this because this pertains to what we're going to talk about next.
Something absolutely clear, unless it wasn't already. If you voted for Trump, you are not allowed in Mexico. You are not allowed in Cabos, Cancun, Puerto Vallarta, Aguascalientes. None of that. Guess what, baby? That's all in Mexico. You don't like us, we don't like you. Don't go there. Stay in your country. Figure it out. Vacation, I don't know, maybe Nebraska perhaps. One of the red states that you love so much. Stay there. Don't have margaritas, don't have tequila, no tacos, no enchiladas, none of that for you. Stick to what you know. Maybe a burger, perhaps. No cheese.
So this is a lady that lives in the United States? Look at the irony there. Is that not amazing? Some of the comments are, should we tell her? I'm going to tell her. 12 out of 15 Texas border towns that are 90% plus Hispanic and the largest per capita population of legal Mexican Americans voted for Trump. Homegirl saying all that while she's wearing a Yankee cap. No worries, I'll stay on my yacht in the Gulf of America. I voted for Trump and I can go to Mexico whenever the F I want. The difference is I don't have to sneak in. So this is an example of what I was talking about earlier. She may not be a Gen millennial Gen Z person. She looks a little bit older. But this is the attitude that I'm really struggling with to maintain my composure and brushing it off as well. A lot of times I've learned to laugh at that, and I'm proud of myself for being able to have a sense of humor in this type of situation. But where does this girl get off in our country telling us where we can and can't go? And just it's entirely ludicrous, ridiculous. And yeah, these people came here illegally. If you have an issue with that, with your criminals coming here, then that's your issue. Go back to Mexico if it's so wonderful. Why are you here? Why aren't you in Mexico? Right? Are you eating tacos? Bet you are, in your Yankees cap. So yeah. So twice this week I had to call and take care of some things. I called the city office because in the city my family's dog needs to be licensed, and I just wanted to check to make sure everything was up to snuff with that and that the license hadn't expired. So I called and I explained my situation to a young kid named Igor at the counter, and I was explaining to him that I have dogs that travel with me and then there's a dog that stays here year round. So he didn't listen to my words and he got all indignant and he said to me, "So what do you do with that dog? Who takes care of that dog when you're gone? What are you doing with that dog?" All indignant and authoritative and kind of menacing almost. And I'm thinking to myself, he didn't listen to me. So my family keeps this dog here year round. He's well cared for. He's well loved. He's just an amazing creature. And do you really think that I would take some of my pets with me and leave another one in my home with no care for an extended period of time? My response to him, I had to bite my tongue because so badly I wanted to say to this kid who was disrespectful and so misled and just so pompous, "Well, I just leave him the keys to the house and the car and a cell phone and tell him, call me if he needs anything." Just as ridiculous as the statement that he made to me. I also called because my property here, the tax assessment went up, and I called the local office to talk to somebody about that. And I was explaining some of the scenarios that I encountered with my home. One of them is that I live where there are not good neighbors on one side of me. It's a rough looking place and they don't take care of it. And the people are always screaming and yelling. And instead of letting me finish my statement, she says to me, "Well, I don't think you're going to get your taxes lowered because the neighbors are yelling." Very, again, young girl, really snotty, nasty attitude, talking down to me. These are public servants. These are people whose jobs we support with our tax dollars. There's no respect. They come from a very pompous perspective. They're rude, they're obnoxious, they're mean. And I'm seeing it on the daily. That was my second. So my third of the day was when I called a facility to get some receipts for healthcare to be able to help with a situation my family member is having. I was trying to get some reimbursement receipts for a flex plan that needed to be utilized. And the woman that I spoke to gave me the wrong dates twice. And when I was writing everything down, and when I reiterated back to her, "No, you gave me the wrong dates of service. The dates of service that I asked for was this date and that date," she took total attitude with me. Young person again, got nasty, took attitude with me, and then denied saying what she said to try and cover her tracks, which I was just over the top about. I'm like, are you kidding me? So then I wanted to go back to my Gen Z mode and put my Mr. T voice on and be like, "Listen, fool." But I didn't. And as I went through each situation, I had to take pause, breathe, and laugh about it because it's laughable, but it's not. This is where our country is headed, and I'm so hoping that this turns around. This generation that we're dealing with, the millennials and the Gen Zs, for the most part, are just so rude and obnoxious, and they think they're so much better than everybody else, and they're so much smarter than we are, that I'm really praying for respect and good manners to return to our country. Not to say that I don't see that either. So it's not exclusively this kind of behavior, but it's mostly this kind of behavior. And that's three instances in one day. I deal with this on a daily basis. We've talked about the lack of intelligence in the general society now, mostly due, I feel, because of what they put, the substances that they put into their body. But this is another situation entirely. And if they've had the vax and they're one of these age group people, and it's just even worse to me. They're even worse. So I wanted to share that with you and have a chuckle over it. And hopefully you can appreciate my situation, and you're probably going through the same scenarios yourself. And I just wanted to let you know you're not alone in this. Let's just maintain our composure, not spend our energy being negative about it, laugh it off, and move on. And again, while this isn't a laughable situation, let's make the best of it, right? Shall we? Ways that we can help to improve our moods for free that don't cost a lot of money, because so many people are struggling financially right now. Again, spend time in nature. Soak up that sunshine. If you don't already feed birds, I would suggest that you get a small bird feeder and feed birds. To be able to look out your window and watch nature is such a gratifying and satisfying thing. And you can do this anywhere, an apartment complex, a shared room. You can put one of those window feeders outside of your window. It's a relatively inexpensive hobby. It helps nature while helping to soothe you and calm you at the same time. There's nothing quite so gratifying as watching animals come to the feeder, especially in these harsh winter times, and knowing that you're giving them sustenance and being able to watch them enjoy their food and their activities and their flight patterns and how they fight with the other birds and the squirrels that come in and try and steal everything, all of that is just so amazingly satisfactory, and you're helping them at the same time. It's so important. They need that right now. If you're unable to get outside in nature, I got some feedback on putting your feet in a tub of dirt. While that does still help, I get that it's not attached to the actual magnetic properties of the earth. I understand that. But working with your plants inside of your home and feeling the dirt that way, repotting some plants or splitting off little pieces to put in water to sprout new regrowth and start new plants, all of that counts too, and it does soothe you and it is helpful to you. And I think I've mentioned this before, but I picked up a really cheap grounding mat. You don't have to spend a lot of money for them. In fact, you can actually make your own grounding area for your bed. You can search the YouTube videos. It doesn't take a lot of work and it's not very expensive. Grounding absolutely helps you to be less anxious and to sleep better and more soundly. I would absolutely encourage people to ground both in the earth and with these devices if you can't, and as a supplement to if you get outside but you're not able to get outside a lot. These will help you. I have to be honest, we've had cats all of my life, but I've never been really a cat person. I've had my favorites throughout my lifetime. Most of my cats as a child were outdoors because my parents wouldn't allow them to come inside, although there was an inside mudroom that they could come into to get warm, so they weren't totally outside in the elements. But my family member recently adopted two barn kittens that would have met probably a very unfortunate demise had they stayed in their environment. And I have to tell you, these little guys have totally brightened my day. While I do have my own cat that is in and out, these two little guys, watching them play and watching them interact and the effects of holding them while they purr is just amazing. I've forgotten, after not holding a cat for so long, how after holding a purring kitten or a purring cat, my anxiety levels decrease, your heart rate lowers. This is scientifically proven stuff. And if you're not able to have a dog, because I'm totally a dog person overall, let me say that, but a small pet, a bird or a kitten, something that's relatively self-sufficient, While with my menagerie, I can totally relate to the cost of veterinary bills, which I'm hoping is something that also will change in this country. We can also research different ways to holistically help our animals. But there are clinics that are available. I know that Tractor Supply and Country Max and PetSmart have different clinics where you can get basic routine care. Obviously, if something's very wrong with your animal, you'll want to take it to a professional, regular, established veterinary clinic or hospital. But if you can and you're feeling lonely and you're feeling totally stressed out, animals, any animal, is an amazing way to be able to bond with nature and get the healing effects from the animals as well. I have a friend that regularly feeds a chipmunk that will eat out of her hand, and or a red squirrel, and that's all that she needs. It provides a sense of satisfaction to her and gratification, and there is a bond that's absolutely formed there with a wild creature. Many people adopt animals from nature, and in some states, in a lot of states now, that may be against the technical law. But if you feed stray animals, again, there are people that will provide feedback and say, well, you can't do that because you're drawing this and that to the environment. But use your judgment. If there's a squirrel that's hanging around, even that you can be friends with, crows make amazing companions. I used to have crows as wild pets that I would feed every day, and there was one that brought me gifts every single day. We've talked about that before on my previous shows, but what a wonderful sense of bonding with nature, and how amazing I felt every day when I went out and saw my little gift that was given to me by my buddy the crow. These are ways, simple ways, that we can stay in touch with nature and help to decrease our anxiety and frustration levels. And listen to comedy. Listen to YouTube videos and laugh at yourself. Laughing and singing and music are all really inexpensive, free ways in a lot of cases, if you don't have the paid subscriptions to the channels, to be in a better mood and create the environment, the positive environment that you wish to share. I've talked about tuning forks before. I've talked about essential oils, burning incense. I have a very special blend of frankincense in myrrh and cedar that I burn, that it not only clears the negativity in the air, it just does something for the senses. It lifts and boosts as well as cleanses. If you have an adversity to that, you may want to get some prayer work done and get some cleansing. Not to say that everybody who doesn't like frankincense has something wrong with them, but typically, just FYI, if you have an adversity to a spiritual incense like that, there may indicate a problem there that you might want to get taken care of. Have somebody pray over you. Somebody who's been trained in that, or just have, if you go to church, a bunch of friends pray over you, even. And then further take your journey, the spiritual journey, forward and seek out somebody that can help you with those issues should you need them. Houseplants are also a great way, very cheap way. You get so much satisfaction out of watching things grow and flourish, and the changes in the seasons when they become dormant and then come back to life in the spring is so amazingly satisfying. So even though we've talked about some of these things before, maybe it's time for you to try something different that you haven't done before. And most importantly, learn to laugh at yourself. Don't take yourself too seriously. That will do amazing things for your inner psyche and your mindset. Be more lighthearted. Practice that, and it will come naturally to you eventually. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week. Oh, by the way, I'm feeling an energy of stalking around me the last couple of weeks, and I have a pretty good idea of where it's coming from, and some of the broadcasts and interviews that I've done probably have drawn some attention to me again just because of the things that we talk about and the sensitive nature of some of these topics. But yeah, this one's for you, stalkers. Have a good night.
Confusing your mind. It's confusing, you're confused. You know why you're waiting.